Welcome back, everybody. Sean Edwards here with Toolhouse. And today is Tuesday, so we are jumping into Tuesday Toolhouse Tool. And today I have a special guest. Her name is Jenny Gonzalez. And she and I are friends and colleagues and have worked together in a variety of different capacities. And I'll let her share with you all of her credentials in a second, but I'm really happy to have her because she honestly was like, well, still to this day, I think is one of the most gifted toddler teachers I've ever seen. I remember one day observing in her classroom at Community Montessori School, and it was during lunch and nap, and the children were not only preparing their lunch, but taking it to their table, eating it, and then they would just get up and scrape their plates and do their dish, take care of their dishes, go to the bathroom, and then go lay down on their cots. And I've never seen since that day, I've never seen that fluid of, movement. And just understanding that there were such clear expectations and standards in that classroom that the children really, really had reached that level of independence. And they were like 18 months to 24 months. So pretty amazing. Anyway, she has agreed to jump on with me today and talk about toileting. So for any of you who are working with childcare in a childcare facility, or your parents and you have infants and toddlers, hopefully this is going to be a great little podcast episode for you. So let me introduce Jenny, and I know she's going to talk about, I know she has three main issues or points that she wants to kind of touch on for toileting. So I'm going to invite her to talk a little bit about herself and her background, and then just start jumping in and sharing some nuggets with all of you. So hi, Jenny. Welcome.
Hi Sean. Well, thank you for inviting me.
Yes.
This is actually one of my favorite things to talk about because there's so much confusion and so much energy and emotional response about toilet learning that I want to give everybody some tools so they can be successful supporting children in community settings or at home. Mm-hmm. So a little bit about myself. I've been involved in Montessori since 1998 when I began working as an assistant in a NIDO environment. That's for mm-hmm. babies. And then took my children's house training, spent so many years in the children's house, and then decided to go and do my A2I training for children between 14 months and 3 years of age, and have spent many years working with that age group, mm-hmm. which I think, by the way, they're my favorite. Mm-hmm. I always say that two-year-olds have so much power, creative power, that I've been trying to get myself into being a two-year-old my whole entire life.
Lovely.
Yeah. So, and now I work as director of the early childhood programs. So my role is to support guides and assistants and parents mm-hmm. in how to develop developmental appropriate practices that really align children with, you know, what we're doing at school with practices at home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I love what you said about that personal power that toddlers have. And I think also, correct me if I'm wrong, but in order for them to kind of move into that personal power and actually, come into exercising it, they need a lot of structure and routine and order, right? And so I think that is one of the misconceptions, about toddlers is, that freedom versus structure. And so it sounds a little counterintuitive if you're giving somebody so much structure and you're keeping their schedule so, so much the same every day. Some people are under the misconception that causes them not to be flexible, but really it's the exact opposite because it's that external order that allows them to develop that internal order. I don't know if you could talk a little bit about that for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I call it the container. Mm. So young children, I think a big misconception about child development is that these young children lack because of their inability to self-express mm-hmm. in language, right? They are not right. verbally expressed, that they lack the capacity for understanding how things work,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the role of the adult is to set up the container, set up the structure that will really allow for the child to receive information about what is expected, how mm-hmm. things work, what is the flow of the day, so that within that information, then they can be free, right?
And explore and feel safe.
Yes. Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I talk a lot in my, I'm not trained at for the 0 to 3 child as you are, but I've been around it a lot, obviously, for 35 years. So I talk a lot about that internal locus of control and fostering independence, and how when you walk into a toddler environment, you'll see how it's so meticulously set up and designed so that the children can go in there and be in that first level of obedience where they're just kind of doing what they want and exploring and be safe. So, you know, without, rather than having an environment where they're just being herded from singing time to reading time to outdoor time, and then being told no, no, no all the time, you know, because they might be touching something that might hurt them or that might get broken. So I talk a lot about that. So within that, that structure of the environment, toileting's a piece of it. So why don't you start talking to us about those three main points with toileting that you really wanted to highlight today in today's episode?
Yeah. So that's really well said. When you step into a community of young children, it seems like organized chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things to know is that every single thing that we do, the way that we prepare the room, the way that we move, the language that we use, the way that we structure the flow of the day, the manner in which we do procedures, like for an example, how do you arrive at home? What are the steps that you take to set up your snack? Mm-hmm. Everything is very well thought of to appeal to the child's sense of order.
Right.
And so what we really want to see is identify what are the developmental laws of young children. So Dr. Montessori said that young children from 0 to 6, they have a quality of the mind that makes that mind absorbent. So they receive everything from the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And within that mind, the mind has a portion that is unconscious from 0 to 3. And then when the child emerges as a conscious learner from 3 to 6, then you can have a little bit more of guided teaching, right? Direct teaching.
Right.
So for the 0 to 3 in unconscious mind, in mm-hmm. the observer mind, what we have to see is that children go through periods in which they are hypersensitive to an area of that development,
mm-hmm.
of their development, such as, for an example, they have a hypersensitivity to movement. So that's mm-hmm. why 2-year-olds need to be moving.
Right.
They are intrinsically motivated to move about.
Yes, even babies. That's why that tummy time right. is so important, you know, yeah. and being able to lift up their heads and develop that core strength and their upper body strength and get to those beautiful materials that they see.
Correct. So the other sensitivity that they have is language.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we're going to have a conversation about, which is supports the toilet learning, and I want to mark that I always say that toilet training is for yes. the adult,
right?
But the learning is for the child.
Yes,
right.
Fostering independence with toileting. Yes, okay. That's what correct. We're doing. Yes,
correct. So the child. When we're thinking about how their mind develops, then we have to set up an orderly environment that really fosters and promotes that kind of independence that we want the child to have, mm-hmm. right? I think some of the myths that I, you know, over the years hear parents about is they want to see if we can pinpoint a specific time in which their child is ready to toilet train. Mm-hmm. I call it toilet learning. But we really don't have a specific age. What we have is an observation of what the physical and the psychological traits of the child are at that precise moment. So number one, once the child begins walking, mm-hmm. we say that the neuromuscular systems are already prepared,
yes,
for the child to be able to develop the ability of controlling the sphincters.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Some other things that you may see is that the child will be following you into the bathroom, and they seem interested in the whole toileting situation. I'm mm-hmm. sure moms and dads have had visitors in the bathroom. You know, curiosity for toileting.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is they begin taking their diaper off. And that's one of the traits that I see. I actually had a parent once say to me, "I am just having such a hard time keeping the diaper off that I've considered taping the diaper."
And oh my goodness.
the reason why they're taking the diaper off is because they are letting you know mm-hmm. they are in the beginning process of learning how to dress and undress.
Yes, very good.
Which is you know, part of the development of independence. Yeah. So now you see this child, you see them that when they're having bowel movements, they're hiding behind mm-hmm. the couches. So this is a moment to begin preparing yourself as an adult who's going to be supporting the learning.
Right.
And preparing a physical environment that is conducive mm-hmm. to the child's independence.
Right. Right. And so I want to just kind of touch on, you mentioned parents asking and inquiring about when is a child actually ready for toilet training. And don't you think that sometimes it's more about when they're ready for their child to begin toilet training? So I do, you know, and we are both parents. We've both been parents and we've both raised three children. So we know how challenging it is. And at the same time, what I try to, when I'm working in schools, I try to talk to the parents about the fact that if you just sort of embrace if you see the physiological and the psychological characteristics at play that you just described, and you just sort of go with it, you know, the whole toilet learning process is much shorter than if you prolong it by putting the diaper on when you have to go to the grocery store, or right. giving the child the message that you know, that they're not trusted to be able to use their toilet learning, you know, during that period. So anyway, I just I thought about that when you mentioned mm-hmm. when is the child ready. The parent has to follow the child.
Yes.
The child doesn't toilet learn when the parent's ready. The parent follows the child and facilitates.
Yeah. So I feel a lot of compassion in my heart for parents mm-hmm. that look at the toilet learning as this huge mountain. It can be daunting to
yes.
begin the process of what do I do? How to prepare myself? What do I need to do? How do I troubleshoot?
Mm-hmm.
The more important thing to know, and this is where we will all take a collective sigh of relief.
Yes.
Is that unless the child has an organic situation happening, every child learns how to use the toilet.
Absolutely.
So you will not have a 7-year-old who is not able to use the toilet unless, obviously, physiologically, mm-hmm. they have mm-hmm. an issue, right? Let's have some conversations about the preparation of the adult, right? So mm-hmm. the initiation of the toilet learning, it's a moment in time that coincides with the child is showing you, you have a child who's showing you the traits, the physical and the psychological traits,
right?
And then parent is knowledgeable about how to prepare himself in terms of, and we will have a conversation about that scheduling, what kind of clothing to use, mm-hmm. what kind of language to use to support toileting, mm-hmm. and also the environment is prepared. So it's almost like an ecosystem. It doesn't happen in isolation. Another thing to know is that, as you mentioned, the success of the child really depends on consistency.
Mm-hmm.
The consistency of having the child experience what it feels like in their body to have the sensation of having the bladder full, and then having experienced the outcome of feeling the trickling of the mm-hmm. urine when they urinate.
And the wet clothes and the discomfort. And,
the discomfort of that. So, just a side note is that we are like 5 or 6 generations of parents who have been exposed to the disposable diapers. And by mm-hmm. the way, a disclaimer, I've used disposable diapers,
Right, me too.
Right. What people do not know is that the oil industry has spent trillions mm-hmm. of dollars designing a substance, a material that really absorbs liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So when your child, as a result of that, as a result of prolonged use of paper diapers, the child is disconnected from
the feeling.
The feeling of when I have the sensation in my body, this is mm-hmm. the result, because they do not really feel wet. They do not feel soiled.
Mm-hmm.
When I see commercials that says keeping your child dry for 8 to 10 hours.
I am in one diaper.
Yeah, I go like, oh, don't do it.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is allow the child to experience that sensation. Like when I mm-hmm. feel the sensation, I get wet. And then have immediately, once the child has soiled themselves, once the child has a bowel movement, get them dry again. So right. that the feeling of dryness, the feeling of being comfortable, becomes a normal.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So in a way, that's that kind of crisis that happens when a child is urinating and getting wet and getting soiled and getting the bowel movements in their underpants is kind of necessary for them to know, to learn the first stage of toileting, which is learning mm-hmm. how to hold it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For learning.
And then recognize that if they do go, they're going to be wet or they're going to be dirty and they're going to be uncomfortable. And then they start to associate, oh, I could just be walking over here to this potty.
Yeah.
And saving myself the discomfort, and then having to change and clean up and all those fun things.
Yeah. Correct. So let's just park that conversation for a moment. The first thing that the adult needs to do is once you identify that your child has the traits of this child might be ready to begin the toileting process, is self-identify, self-disclose, how am I feeling?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How am I doing? Am I ready? Do I have all the information that I need? Is my bathroom prepared mm-hmm. to support children changing their clothing when they're soiled? How am I doing? And just being kind and compassionate towards yourself, because mm-hmm. it is a process that takes a long time. Toileting is not really an empiric process where every day you're more toileted than before. What happens is that over time, the child is exposed to using the toilet at very specific times throughout the day, in such a way that they learn how to hold it and release it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you are scheduling times where they can have success
mm-hmm.
using the toilet, but it that's when the scheduling comes in. So, okay, so let's talk about what are the things that an adult needs to do to prepare themselves. Number one, begin providing the child who's using cotton underpants the right clothing. So I would say when a child, I am a believer of baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a believer that if you're feeling stressed and you're trying to support your child to go in the toilet or to do anything, then it's going to be colored by such negative emotion that it's going to become an obstacle. It's going to get in the way of the child's learning. So it might be that at the beginning, you take the diaper off and then you keep that diaper off for a couple of hours in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
That's a possibility. And then you put some cotton underpants, right? So we have to believe that the child has a natural inclination to toilet learn themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
Toilet train themselves. We just have to provide the conditions for that to flourish. So the second thing that we have to consider is if the child is going to be using cotton underpants, we have to be mindful of the kind of clothing that the child is going to have on their bodies. Because mm-hmm. if they have things like overalls or tights, I don't know mm-hmm. if you have seen toddlers with their really chubby thighs and then they have tights, they kind of peel them up.
Yeah.
It's impossible. They're not going to be
right.
So clothing that has elastic and I will say maybe one size larger so it can be easy for them to learn how to pull up and mm-hmm. pull down when they learn how to use a toilet independently.
Yeah, because this is also about self-care, right? Like you're fostering independence and self-care, not only in learning how to use the toilet, but dressing and undressing. And then that sense of capability that they internalize as a result of that is very powerful.
Yeah, yeah. So that's number one. So now you take an inventory of your clothing. Skirts do not work. Young children do not have the motor coordination to be able to pull up from the bag and pull down their pants and sit down in a little toilet. So shorts with elastic bands. And actually at home, when my children were younger, I used to get the adult size socks and I would cut the bottom and I will have my underwear and socks all the way to their thighs, like thighs. Don't spend mm-hmm. a lot of money. Use things that you have available so they won't be cold. So I wanted to facilitate that they had some success using the toilet.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? So, and then the last thing is, there are two more things is the preparation of the physical space. I always say, if you do not prepare a bathroom that will support you to support your child in the toilet learning, it's going to fall apart. Because mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this, but when you have a child toilet learning, if they have a bowel movement in their pants and you don't have what you need in the bathroom, it's like, it's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that you avoid having that kind of emergency response, that kind of high elevated, intense, there's poop all over, is you have in the bathroom every single thing that you need so that you can be very calm and collected
mm-hmm.
supporting your child. So these are the things that you need. For younger children, the little toilet, the potty, the plastic toilet, because remember mm-hmm. that their sense of gravity is
still developing. Yeah.
developing. So it's better for them to be squatting in the little toilet than be stepping up on a platform, or that comes a little later. you will have in the bathroom an empty hamper, but line it with a trash bag. You will thank me later. This is your ding, ding, ding point to remember. Line it with a trash bag, because if you are changing soiled clothing, you want to have a place where you can just put whatever it is that needs to be washed and rinsed or clean.
Mm-hmm.
In a place where it's not going to damage your beautiful basket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Half available gloves. When I tell parents, make sure that you have gloves, people get really like shocked, like, it's my child. But right. Believe you me, you're not going to be able to avoid having an emotional response if you get poop in your hands.
Mm-hmm. Under your fingernails.
Under your fingernails. Yeah. And so if you have gloves, then you don't care, because you take them off and then you put them in the trash can, mm-hmm. right? So have gloves, the baby wipes, the hamper that is lined with plastic, and then have, there are some stores that sell these stools, small stools, that have a compartment where you can stuff things inside. I used to stuff my clean underwear there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you want to do is create a system that when a child needs to be changed, that they have everything that they need after they leave the bathroom, they're ready. Mm-hmm. So baby wipes, a place to wash their hands, all of those things. So again, let me do a recap. Small toilet, gloves, a lined hamper,
mm-hmm.
plastic bags for trash, some underwear is not worthy to save them.
Right.
Just go to a thrift store and buy 15 pairs for 50 mm-hmm. cents. Baby wipes and extra clothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. So now the adult has identified the traits of the child. Okay, let me make sure that I have everything that I need. A shower handle, as attached to your bathroom. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really useful thing to do, because sometimes you have to wipe and then it's better for them, don't go through the whole process of doing a bath, because imagine if every time your child has a bowel movement, you have to give them a bath, that's also going to create a lot of stress. But
quick
rinse, dry them so they can be comfortable, and then out of the bathroom they go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the last thing that really contributes to the success of the child is the predictability of the schedule.
Okay.
If the child has an inconsistent schedule, it's going to be really difficult for them to anticipate, because the first mm-hmm. stage is learning how to hold it. But the second stage of toileting is learning how to hold it and release it at the times that you take the child, which mm-hmm. is, which is always why it's important that if the child gets wet at the beginning, that you take immediately the child to the bathroom and you sit them on the toilet. Obviously, they're not going to go.
Right.
They already went. What you want to create is an association. This is right. where it happens, right?
Okay.
And then get the child ready. And over time, the child learns how to hold it and learns how to release it when you take them. But that doesn't mean that the child is toilet learn. That means that the child is one step closer.
Making associations. Yes.
To make an association so they can keep themselves dry, so they can keep themselves, comfortable. The last stage for that happens around three and a half for some of the children, where the child, it's a really complex process, and people mm-hmm. sometimes kind of don't have the understanding of all the things that are happening at once for the right. child to actually make it to the toilet. So it has to do with, I feel this sensation in my body and I have had enough practice mm-hmm. dressing and undressing and going to the bathroom. Now I need to take my body to the other side and hold it enough, long enough, so I can actually release it on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a musculature that needs to be developed.
Right.
Right. So that this is where the friendliness with error comes, that if the child could make it to the toilet, they will make it to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't made it, it's because they can't yet. So another preparation of the adult, aside of identifying the traits of the child, preparing the environment, preparing the child with the right clothing, and scheduling
mm-hmm.
a predictable schedule so that the child can go to the bathroom at least every hour, is having the right attitude and using the correct language.
Okay, yes, that's very important.
Yeah, because we know that language can, the right language can support the process or can become an obstacle to the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Asking a child why they didn't go pee in the toilet when they, you know, you took them, why you didn't go pee in the toilet, I just took you to the toilet, they're not going to be able to. First of all, they don't know. Remember, this is a practice of learning how to hold it and release it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have enough practice, they're not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's a pretty obtuse why question.
Right.
Right. I don't know if an adult could answer that. Why didn't you go in the bathroom?
Right. So being able to use language that supports the child. For an example, you are wet. It's time to change clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Before we eat strawberries, it's time to take a turn in mm-hmm. the toilet. It's time
before
to go.
We're going to go and leave for school today. So let's, before we get in the car, let's Correct. Have a turn with the toilet. And if they don't go, the parent doesn't say anything, right?
No. I mean, you know, I always say when parents say, I invite her to go in the bathroom and then she sits down for 0.5 seconds and then she pops right up. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Because what you don't want is to create an obstacle where the adult now, in the way of a power struggle, becomes in the way of
my puppy.
So being able to identify, remember how we at the beginning said that 2-year-olds have a lot of power, and then mm-hmm. I really admire them. Well, but you know, around this age, when the children begin toileting, they begin this process of individuation where they notice that they're separate from you.
Right.
And there is a psychological crisis, a process where they are differentiating from you, right? So this is where no begins.
Yeah. And they're aware that they're in control of this whole potty thing.
And they begin the awareness that I am in charge of myself. You know, mm-hmm. I am in charge of what I put in my mouth. Mm-hmm. I am in charge of whether or not I go to sleep. I am in charge of whether or not I use the toilet. So the adult that is noticing that the child is going through this process will do everything in their power to not get into a power struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. It's time to. That's it, you know, very matter of fact.
Right.
No threatening,
no bribing.
No bribing.
No rewards if they actually pee-pee or poo-poo in the toilet.
That's a really, really important thing. And it is because, you know, we are a little bit misinformed of what the child needs to use the toilet. As an acknowledgement, right? There's mm-hmm. a difference between a reward and an acknowledgement where you say you use the toilet. Whenever there is a motivator that lies outside of the child, then it also becomes an obstacle. Because if mm-hmm. you tell the child, I'm going to give you an M&M every time that you pee, then eventually that will stop working.
Mm-hmm.
Or giving the child an iPad, which really gives the child, keeps the child disconnected. Their mind is somewhere else.
Right. They're not in their bodies.
They're not,
which is where they need to be. Yeah.
Correct. You want the child to go in the bathroom, use the bathroom, and then get out of the bathroom and get their needs for socialization, for family life, for enjoyment outside of that realm, right? So then eventually over time, the child that has the right clothing, the right environment, the right schedule, the right language, eventually it's, you know, I've seen it so many different times. I mean, we have some of us that work with mm-hmm. children, we have the unfair advantage that we see the multiplicity of the possibility, right? Like we see right. it over and over. It can be daunting and overwhelming for people to begin the process because they haven't had the experience of witnessing
mm-hmm.
what the possibility is. But children are pre-prepared. You know, they have this intrinsic motivation for becoming more self-sufficient and more yes. independent.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that journey to functional independence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about empowering them and encouraging them and helping them to be able to do things on their own and to develop it from a place of internal locus rather than external locus, which is, you know, why I think I think some parents need to understand that, because you can give children rewards or punishments or external, you know, resources or forces to get them to do certain things. But then when you're not looking, they're right. they're not wanting to do those things because there's nobody to either please or to disappoint. So allowing them to develop this internally, and this is about their own self-care and self-awareness and developing that internal locus of control so that when they become adolescents, which is very right. similar to toddlers, they can make decisions out of a deep sense of integrity,
right?
As opposed to, am I going to get in trouble or am I going to get an A kind of right. thing?
Right. So one of the things that I want to touch on before we finish is how to support children who are soiled.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that really honors their dignity and promotes independence, right? So one of the first things to know is that independence is not really a point of arrival.
Mm-hmm.
It's a process. So yeah. at the beginning, your child is not going to be able to take their pants on their own, their underwear. So Dr. Montessori said, you give help where help is needed. So if they're having issue with learning how to hook their little thumb on the elastic band to pull down, you show them that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning, it's going to be a collaborative process.
Right.
Right. Even if a child already knows how to take their clothing off, and that day they're having an issue or they're going through their two-year-old, I don't want to do anything you ask me to do phase, you will continue supporting their independence by collaborating with them with humor and lightness and love, right? Like,
right.
Oh, I see, but you can't take your pants off? I'll help you today. Oh, I'm available for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we want is, again, to avoid the adult becoming an obstacle.
Right.
So let's talk about how to support a child who has urinated over themselves or versus a child who has had a bowel movement.
Right.
So you will look at your child. Your child is wet. You say, you're wet. Let's go change into dry clothes. Let's walk into the bathroom. Standing up, this is one of the important things.
Mm-hmm. Good, I'm glad you're touching on that.
Yeah, standing up, you will go get your gloves, even if it's urine. I would say, do something, prepare yourself to have a process that is clear about what's going to happen now, right? Mm.
So they see the gloves. Yeah.
So the child can anticipate that we are in the process of changing our clothing. Once the child knows how to take their own underpants off, you will say, let's walk. It's time to get changed into dry clothes. And then you will verbally direct the child, say, take it off. Okay, put it in the hamper. Now you're ready to sit on the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to get your dry clothes. Wash your hands and take it out. If the child needs your help, you will put your gloves on. And then in a collaborative move, you show the child how to slide down the pants, where to put the soiled clothing. The child will sit on the toilet. Mm-hmm. You will wipe the child if it's necessary. And then they wash your hands. You take the thing. Now let's go find the mango we were peeling in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Or it's time for a walk, whatever. This process is best if you do it very intentionally with fewer words.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I cannot stress enough, you don't want the bathroom to be the place where your child gets their social needs met. If you're in there and then
that's a good point.
Those conversations, and then you're like talking about and you're reading books, and what is the incentive of going in there and getting out?
That makes so much sense.
Right. So very matter of fact, and if the child is insisting on having a lot of conversations, you say, after you use the toilet, I'll meet you on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes, I'll read you that book over there. If a child had a bowel movement, one more thing. If a child urinated all over the floor, usually I'll have a stack. I don't know why, but I like brown small towels. I would say you're wet. Let's go get the pee towels. You help the child wipe it off. Again, you're gonna have to go and clean after that. And then you put it away, and then you would change their child. This is part of learning how to take responsibility in a non-shaming way.
Right.
We don't want to make the child feel bad. They don't know what happened. They don't have any.
And like make comments like, ooh, gross, or oh, stinky poop, or like those. You know, those are things that parents sometimes do even humorously. Ooh, you stinky. You know, but they don't realize the message that they're giving.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe if you want to touch on that too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the importance of language. Yeah. Okay. So let's say if a child had a bowel movement, you will notice, you had a bowel movement, it's time to change. The same procedure, you will go into the bathroom. You will put your gloves on. The adult will have to help in this process.
Mm-hmm.
You will slowly slide down the underpants so that your child can step out of there. And if there is anything in the underpants, you will turn it upside down and place it in the toilet.
Right.
You know, the bulk of whatever it's in there, and then put the dirty soiled thing in the hamper. Remember, it's lined with a plastic bag, so you're not gonna care. Then you will help your child wipe, and then you will see the child on the toilet, and that's it. You don't have to say anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If the child could make it to the bathroom on time, they will do it. Eventually, with time and with a lot of practice, they'll do that. So the importance of language is, like I said at the beginning, language can be either supportive, encouraging, or it can become an obstacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it makes them scared.
Right.
I've
done something bad.
Right.
When they really don't have enough practice to actually have any agency over it.
Mm-hmm.
So avoiding saying that the child is stinky or is so messy, or
oh my gosh, I can't believe you just pooped in your pants, you know, things like that too.
Actually, I just changed you, or
right,
or whatever. Like the children don't learn that way. Children are never going to be able to learn skills by feeling shame.
Right. I like to think of encouraging and empowering.
Correct.
You know, those are two really, you know, if you really know what that means and what kind of language to use. And you've given us some great examples. And I love how you talked about the standing up as well. We can't foster independence and help children become independent with toileting if we're laying them down and doing everything for them.
Right.
Like you said, if they're standing up, they can start to participate and eventually assume more and more responsibility until they are independent with the tasks.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last thing that I think, you know, it's important to notice is that children usually follow their own personal rhythm when they go to the bathroom. So keeping an eye on and maintaining awareness that every single day at 10 o'clock, around 10 o'clock, they have a bowel movement so that the schedule, the process that you put in place is to be in the service of the child. It's not to be in the service of the adult, right?
So right.
If you know that you're taking the child every day at 9:15 and they're not going, they're not using the toilet and they've been having a lot of practice, but you know that at 9:50, around 9:45, 9:50, they usually have a bowel movement, move your schedule. Mm-hmm. So then what you do is you set up the conditions so that the child can have success, right?
Right.
And then the more they have success doing that on the toilet, the more inclined they're going to be to have more
absolutely
success.
Yeah, exactly. Building on one success, building on another. And then also empowering that sense of capability.
Correct. You
know, that when they're independent in tasks, they feel capable, and then the world is like a really fun place to explore, as opposed to them
being afraid.
And also being dependent with everything. And I think parents also have oftentimes if they're busy, and I can understand this because we've all been there. Some parents have a tendency to do too much for their children.
Right.
Because it's easier and it's quicker and it's cleaner. And so I think understanding the importance of taking the time to involve your children in the tasks is really important.
Yeah. Yes. So to end our conversation, I want to touch on some troubleshooting, because a lot of parents over the years, I've had so many similar questions about how do you support toileting. For an example, if you have a child who has initiated the process, they can hold it, but they don't like public bathrooms, for an example, or we're going to be on a road trip. Over the years, I've recommended families to have a portable toilet in their trunk.
Right.
And that's a really good way of giving your child the chance to continue being successful. Again, I want to say that I'm always going to be in support of families having some really good mental health, right?
Right,
so you're going to be flying for 9 hours and you have a child who is in the process of toilet learning and you are having a lot of stress thinking about how you're going to be able to make that work. Of course, put your child in a diaper. Mm-hmm. The important thing is that as soon as you can resume your schedule, you do it fully.
Right.
So that the child doesn't have these mixed messages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, some days I use diapers. The children of this age do not understand what are the categories of things that will qualify them.
Yeah, the inconsistencies. And then the inconsistencies also confuse them and lead to outbursts and tantrums and things.
Correct.
That really they're just telling you they don't understand what's going on and why you're changing their routine. So I heard you talk about the toilet. There are also those lovely little pads that you can put in your car seats.
Mm-hmm.
That you can just take out and wash. So for families who want to, you know, really be consistent about having the children in cotton underwear. They can put them in the car seat. And if the child does have a, does urinate or have a bowel movement, they could just remove that and not damage the car seat.
Right. And also, just keep in mind that this is a process that will begin and will get more regular. The child will become more regular with a lot of practice, with a lot of predictability, with the right clothing, with the right support and language in the right environment. But we also have to remember that because it's not an empiric process, often when there is a portion of their development that is taking precedence, let's say the child is going through an explosion of language, mm-hmm. or there's another developmental stage that they are really focusing on, sometimes there is a little bit of, I'm not going to call it delay, but there's a little bit of a
regression.
A little bit of regression in the toileting process. That doesn't mean the child forgot. That means that for a few weeks or so, this is not something that the child is going to be that focused on. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that if a child experiences a regression, that, you know, let's say the child was already going to the bathroom independently, taking their clothes off, releasing and all that, and now the child is getting, you know, wet again, that we need to be willing to meet the child who is showing up on real time where mm-hmm. they are.
Right.
So it might be that you go all the way back to then having a regular schedule. You cannot mm-hmm. expect the child that is showing you that they're a little bit discombobulated mm-hmm. that you want them to be where they were, you know, a month and a half ago. So just go back. Oh, you're showing me that you're needing a little bit more of my support, going mm-hmm. all the way back.
Right.
Things that also can trigger regression are a new sibling, mm-hmm. transitioning from a toddler community to a primary community. Right.
Big changes in their life, any kind of
big changes.
Yeah.
An illness, you know, the child mm-hmm. is really sick, or grandparents, we love grandparents, by the way, mm-hmm. visiting,
right?
Their world is upside down. So there are so many different things that the child is sensitive to that we can't anticipate. Mm-hmm. So if the child is showing you that they need a little bit more structure, go all the way back.
Yeah. Instead of becoming frustrated or angry or, you know, feeling despair.
Yeah. So the last thing, this is the last thing, is I have a lot of questions on when is the right time to remove the diaper from the child overnight. Mm-hmm. The right time is when the child is consistently staying dry throughout the day and using the toilet independently.
Yeah.
That will be
and then they will get wet sometimes at night. But again, like you were saying earlier, they'll feel the wetness. It might even wake them up. They'll go to the toilet, and that's how they start to develop the ability to hold it overnight. Mm-hmm. Just put a plastic cover on the mattress or whatever is going to make the parents feel better about the furniture or the mattresses and things like that.
Yes. So again, consistency, making sure that everybody who is involved in the care of the child is using the same attitude, has the same attitude, using the same language, that whatever the child is going, that there's a space for them where they can go through the whole changing clothing process in a way that feels predictable and mm-hmm. safe. And so this is a good conversation to have with partners and caregivers and nannies and grandparents. Like, yes. This is what we're doing. I would like for you to support us. And again, with a lot of practice and a lot of predictability, mm-hmm. the child, you know, will learn how to do it by themselves.
Yeah. And they can revisit this episode of the podcast share this with their nannies or their caregivers or grandparents or whoever. And I've been made aware that you are doing consulting as well, Jenny, right now. So Jenny obviously is an expert with the 0 to 6 age and loves that 0 to 3 age. So how do people get in touch with you if they want to invite you to help them, you know, in a larger capacity?
Yes. So I have my personal email, which is Jenny, JINNYG, 1976 at gmail.com. You can reach me there. And I, again, one of my main pleasures in life is really supporting parents in this journey. Mm-hmm. It seems so daunting, but it happens so quickly. It's over time, it feels very intense. But eventually, you know, now my children are older.
You're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. Well, such a pleasure as always, Jenny. So Jenny, JINNYG, 1976.
Correct.
At gmail.com.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. And perhaps we will come together again for another podcast. There's so many different topics that we can talk about, right? As it pertains to young children.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much and have an awesome day.
You too. Bye-bye.